It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here at Champions on Baxter Street. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I'm being joined momentarily by Jake Roos, who had to start our show. Jake is our recruiting expert at UGASports.com and pretty much whipping dog, the guy we just abuse whenever we get a chance. He and Paul Meharry, who congrats to Paul Meharry, who just got married.
He'll be getting whipped by another person now.
And then we have, of course, Hall of Fame coach
you watch
Jim Donner.
Billions?
I have not.
And we have Coach Jim Dodd here on the show. The main reason you're tuning in. Big shout out to Champions for letting us come into their restaurant and eat all their food and pretty much drive off all their patrons. Big shout out to Athens Ford for being a sponsor of the show and the website. And of course, Aaron Overhead Doors, Ryan Lucia, and the folks over in Buford. Big shout out to them. Of course, Your Pie, been a sponsor of the website for years and years and years. Back when they only had one location, now they're up to 60 plus. So big shout out to Your Pie. And of course, Academia Brewing Company. That's the beer we have while we're here at Champions. You can get it all over town. They're canning it now. We have some folks in town from Washington, D.C. that came down and picked up some Academia, the skull. So,
yeah, absolutely.
The Norwegian wheat beer. So shout out to the folks who came in just to watch the show and to take care of our sponsors. And of course, Cable East, Robert Wall out at Statham. For sponsoring the show. He's up there next to that Chin's restaurant.
Hey, look, they don't sponsor the show. I need to talk to her about that, though.
Yeah, so now I know why Robert Walls stays out of state.
No doubt.
You know, it's a good location, and he takes care. You know, we probably wouldn't even be able to be on the show if it weren't for the guys at Cable East, because I'm thinking the hardwire that runs the internet, they probably installed it. They do all the cable installations for, you know, big contractors and stuff, so big shout out to them. Anyway, guys, we are just days away from the Rivals Camp in Atlanta on Friday night. The first Friday night Rivals Camp.
Yeah.
We had to because, Coach, we had originally scheduled it for Saturday. Something else is going on Saturday.
And we're thinking, you mean Kirby didn't want to move to Friday night?
I don't know why Kirby wouldn't move G-Day to Friday night or to Easter. He wouldn't accommodate our schedule, so we moved the Rivals Camp because, you know, the last thing you want to do is go up against the University of Georgia on a Saturday with the best players in the region. So we're going to have those kids, a lot of them coming in from out of state.
You know, it really is a blessing in disguise for us, too, because those kids can do that Friday night and come on over to game Saturday. So you really you need to get a little love for helping out.
Yeah, maybe Kirby could hook us up a little bit, you know, with some swag or something, you know. So anyway, but the kids will come in Friday night, and we've seen a couple of them say that, yeah, I'll probably go over to Georgia on Saturday. So should be a great turnout. The list of guys that are coming to the G-Day game, if you go to UGASports.com and check out the list, I think there were five stars, 11 four stars, and that was like 3 days ago, and y'all have added more.
And that's just what we've confirmed so far, and we're going to have more names coming as the week progresses as well. We're picking up names daily. We picked up I'll give away a big one we got yesterday. Was
don't give away a scoop on the free podcast.
It's Zykevious Walker coming up from Sly.
Ooh.
So a lot of people were waiting for him to confirm that visit. We thought he'd come, so not a huge surprise that he is showing up, but good to have that one confirmed. And a big visitor for Georgia this weekend.
Do they have a running back coming?
They do have a running back coming, and that is five-star Kendall Milton, all the way from out in Clovis, California. You've got guys
just
coming from all over the country for this one. So, you know, and I was on Bulldog Roundtable this morning, and we had a chance to talk about some of this. You're seeing each and every year that national brand continuing to expand. They've done a great job in focusing that, and I credit them for it because they've really made the most of those opportunities.
Yeah, I think two things there. First of all, you always look at position needs, and you look for the best players in the country at every position. And if you've got the right kind of situation as far as returning guys or guys that are leaving pretty quickly, then maybe some of these players around the country will look at you a little quicker. But also the history that we have at certain positions gets their attention right away. And then the other thing is we have such a massive – ability to look around the country with the, you know, starting with Marshall Malco, who's got so many contacts, a lot like you guys do with recruiting. I mean, he does with coaches around the country. And then you have the Word Association with Georgia being so good lately in the national forefront when kids are watching the big games. And you add all that together, then you got a chance to maybe really go after some of these guys, not only have them in your picture, but also have a chance to sign them. And then you add the fact that we're putting guys out in the pros, which is they're always looking at that too. So all of it put together puts us in a situation where maybe we might be a little bit more selective in Georgia, maybe too selective, and because we got that dangling out of maybe a little bit better player outside the state. But it's just a real fine line whether to stay on a great player hoping you're going to get him and maybe turning down a guy that you probably could get. So that's a real fine line.
It's a tough balance to strike for sure.
I would not want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know this kid, if you tell him, you know, give him the go-ahead to commit, he probably commits to you. You know he's a good player, you wouldn't be on him. But there's a great player over in California or Texas or Maryland who you know is not going to decide for months. And so do you go toe-to-toe with all the other schools for months and miss out on the good player here in state, you know, that could – you know, maybe there's a kid coming behind him 2 years from now that, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just like we saw with, say, Justin Rogers, you know, where's well, he's in Ohio?
Michigan.
You take one of his teammates.
Suddenly.
Then suddenly he's in play. So.
And he's got – there's three guys,
and
actually.
And all the kids are getting out of Miami.
Sure. Oh, yeah. There's three guys on that team, Malik Carr, Enzo Jennings, and Justin Rogers, who all have ties, obviously, to Dwan Mathis. He was their quarterback last year. All three of those guys have Georgia offers. Looks like Malik Carr is going to end up taking an official visit to Georgia. We got a piece on Justin Rogers over at UGASports.com today from our guy Josh Himholt on Rogers. Go check that one out for sure.
Well, let's just put this in perspective. You grow up with the kid and say in your neighborhood, and then all of a sudden – you're working for a company and they're getting ready to interview a guy that you grew up with, and you bring him in and for the interview and say, look, these people really here. This is a first-class organization. They've treated me right, blah, 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 as compared to, hey, look, you know, I probably am going to be looking for a job here next week and I'm not real happy with it. And the same thing when bringing a kid in here and you say, hey, everything they told me, that's the way it's going to be. They're going to really help you on and off the field. Blah, 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 or, hey, look, I'm ready to get in this transfer portal. Don't even consider this place. So, you know, word of mouth is great in a lot of ways and hurts you in some ways. But usually the malcontent guys, though, are going to be the same ones that were malcontent in high school. They always had something wrong. So the big thing for us is I just think, and you can just feel it, when you go out, and I know Roddy's going to say he's only out there 10 minutes and all that. But there's just such a competitive nature out there that our kids understand what needs to be done to stay at the level they are and maybe increase it a little bit. And they've been to the dance and they want to go back. So I just feel like they want to surround themselves with other good kids coming in because competition helps them. And there's something about a really good player that ekes respect from somebody else when you cut that tape on and you're a Georgia player and the coaches will show some tape to a guy. Let's say, Roddy, you're the host and Jake's coming in. They'll show you the tape of Jake and you, God, this guy. So, and what helps is when he does come in and you're talking about the tape, it's, well, this guy's really interesting. He looked at my tape, you know, and all that. So, but they don't want you to take around a kid that it's not very good, and usually won't bring me that. But you know, if it doesn't really – my point is our players want to help get other good players here, and Saturday is a really good
– they will be hosting a lot of talent.
Saturday is so good from a standpoint. You can bring them into a scrimmage or bring them in the summer or do that, but there's a different vibe in that place when people – fannies are in the seats, and you see that atmosphere, and you – like I used to take a guy on in the middle of the field before a game and just put my arm around him and say, how does this feel out here?
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, and
it's a selling point.
I mean, and you know, you just can't replicate that. You know what I mean? You just can't.
How big, though, do you think? Because I've had this question a couple of times recently on various radio shows and stuff. People want to know, you know, how impactful is this?
Who's your agent, man? You're going to various shows. I mean, drop some lines here on me.
Who in this, or how impactful is something like G-Day in a kid's ultimate decision? In my personal perspective, I said it plants the seed for the kids. It's not necessarily a make or break event. It's not something that.
Well, here's the first thing about it. Let's just put it in perspective. If you're in the 9th or 10th grade, which they're bringing guys in here that early, and that's the first thing you ever see and associate with college football, every place you ever will go after that, that's what you'll compare it to.
Yeah.
And if you've been somewhere else and then you come here, you're comparing it to that. And the thing that Kirby's established with that 93,000 is the fact that any place these kids go, they're going to say, God, I don't know if they really like football like they do at Georgia.
That's a good point.
You know, which is, I mean, we've seen that most of the bigger schools have big crowds, but it's just the symbolism of our fans are so hungry to get be number one. And want to and have real pride in it. And you look the way we built facilities and everything we've done, is that you got to use that to your advantage. This is the state university. This is the place where you want these people to come. And it's not so hard with Georgia kids, but an out-of-state kid, I'm telling you now, some of these kids go to schools or in states where football's not that big, and they go to a college game, and there's 30, 35,000 people there. I mean – and then all of a sudden they come in here, that gets their attention pretty quick.
No, absolutely.
I wanted to point out to you what you were kind of mentioning. G-Day, say G-Day's over, you know, and it's the fall. Well, it's Sunday, it's Easter. And somebody goes to UGASports.com and they're like, well, how many commits did we get on G-Day? Well, you didn't get any. And they immediately say it's a failure.
Yeah.
But what we noticed last year and the year before, I don't know that we had any on G-Day, did we?
I can't recall.
But there were some
back.
There were some within the week.
Yeah.
There were some within 2 weeks. There were some within the month. And these guys would go back and talk about that visit they had at G-Day. And then remember when Kirby did the 93,000, got the whole stadium sold out. Just about every kid we spoke to for a year mentioned that G-Day crowd. I mean, think about it. They're talking about a spring game, not even a real game.
Yeah.
They're talking about the G-Day game. So you bring them in with 50,000. Let me finish the thought, Coach. And then the players are released. They're over. You know, they had the scrimmage. One side won, the other. They're thrilled that it's over. I mean, let's call it what it is. They're happy that practice is over. Spring camp is over. They're kind of relieved. Now, a lot of them turn around and host. You got all these guys.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They go get cleaned up, and they go meet the kids. They're supposed to host that weekend. They walk them around. They hang out with them that night. Everyone has a good Saturday night. Then 10 days later, 9 days, whatever, how many days later, you have the draft. A lot of Georgia names are going to be called. DeAndre Baker will be in, you know, in that room. Those guys are going to be drafted. So the kids that are coming in are going to see a big crowd, probably not 93, but a big crowd. They're going to get hosted by a good, you know, good guy. They're going to see Georgia's name, players being drafted in the NFL. Then won't be long before they're making a decision.
Yeah, and I would add the one thing about that, because the reason I almost interrupted you, I didn't want to forget this, is for the – every year, Kirby's had something new that he's been able to promote at the spring game. The first year was a 93,000.
Right.
The second year, he was able to show them the indoor facility. This is what we got to go along with our stadium. Now, this year, they'll not only be able to see the big crowd, the indoor situation, and then every time when they're moving around before the game, they'll be in the new locker room and recruiting room down there. And good ambiance right before everything starts, instead of standing out there burning your butt up and being hot and
like
everything. You're in there in the air conditioning. You're looking at all these big screens. You're looking at all these uniforms. You're looking at all these different big, you know, guys that have played ball here. And then the man takes you in his little enclave in there and tells you about what it's
like. I forgot about his little recruiting room in there.
What it's like to be a dog and how you want to do it. So I would think that we're going to be in a primo position this year, whether we get the commits early. And the guys we're after aren't really doing that early. But I would say we're going to have a lot of bullets in our gun this weekend.
Well, you mentioned how does the fallout from all of this happen? Let's take a look on last year. Tresman Marshall was really kind of the big guy who popped after G-Day last year. 427, he came on board. You know, and even that was a fight to the end. You still had Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yes, he took visits to Alabama, Auburn. So the next one from that, Xavier Truss. Then you went on a tear down the stretch in July. So it's not necessarily.
And I mean, those guys visited.
I wrote most of these guys visited.
That's my point.
And I wrote this. I wrote this up yesterday.
That's why I'm teeing you up. I know. I was teeing you up for this. So
it's not a make or break weekend for you because and I get where people get concerned because, like I said, it's been a month and a half since you got a commitment. Meanwhile, Clemson is adding guys left and right. They're trending for guys like Brian Breese, and they're trending for DJ. out of California, you know, Alabama's adding to their class, LSU's adding to their class. I could understand why you were worried in the past. I think that this staff has earned the benefit of the doubt.
No, because remember, when we first started doing this show, Georgia was struggling in recruiting. I say first started doing it. We first started doing it with Coach Don, and they had had a horrible spring. And people were freaking out because the team had won, going, 8-5, 7-5 yep. the previous season. They weren't recruiting well. And everyone was like, well, we know Kirby can recruit. The jury's still out on whether or not he can coach. And all he did after that was manage to sign back-to-back number one classes. You know, last spring, Georgia wasn't sitting pretty. The spring before that, they weren't sitting pretty. Again, my point is, when you have a coach that is as successful a recruiter as Kirby Smart is, you know, give, like you said in your article yesterday, go to UGASports.com, read the Four Down Territory. It's a great article. The not having 13, 15 commits in April is not a big deal. My point, and that's why I'm bringing up what you wrote about, I'm just trying, if folks leave the show with one thing they remember today, it's progress will be made this Saturday.
Yeah.
It will be made in the following weeks. It will be made at the draft. It will be made with all the contacts. They are playing the long game.
Yeah.
You know, now, here's the thing. You might get a kid who comes in on Saturday, has such a wonderful time, and commits. And 6 months from now, it might wear off.
Absolutely.
You get that visit high. I had a great time. I met a girl I think it's amazing. I'm gonna commit to that school, you know. Oh, this guy, we had so much fun, you know. So-and-so says when I get up here, he's going to take me fishing. I'm going to commit to that school. Yeah, no, just, again, take the long view like Kirby's doing because here's the thing. You're going up against Alabama, who's also doing that. You're going up against Clemson. You're not going up against Middle Tennessee State. You're not going up against Presbyterian. Yeah. You're going against the big dogs, and some of these things are going to be a fight to the end. You're recruiting nationally.
And you're better served getting guys on signing day, like George Pickens, who ended up flipping
just
to
say
you.
It.
You're much better served then, right. You know, rather than having to fight down the stretch. And I think that that's part of what this staff has taken into account is, you know, you got the wide net cast right now. See how it goes. And then when the season starts to get a bit closer, as the end of summer comes up and these guys get a chance to come by and visit, now you start whittling down your list. And I think
let them go through that July. Well, you saw all those guys committed in July.
Yeah.
I was out of town for all that. It was glorious.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll go out of town this June and July, so there will be a two-week period
Great.
Where you guys can handle all those commits. So, Kirby, that'll be another favor you owe me. But point being, when you look at what they did over the summer, how they all those guys had visited elsewhere too. You know, a lot of Georgia fans freak out about a kid who's, you know, you think you're leading for, and all of a sudden he's at Tennessee, he's at Florida, he's at LSU, and you start getting worried about it. It's like, no, let him go and see what, as Coach Donovan just said, he's got Georgia in his mind. Here's what's there. I'm going to go compare.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was a jeweler commercial in Atlanta that for years and years drove me batty because the guy's voice was nuts. But it's like, go look everywhere else, then come see us.
Yeah.
You know, check everywhere else, and then because they were just confident in what they had to sell. And I think Kirby's like, look, go take your visits elsewhere. That's fine. But come visit us because each visit moves them closer. Now, there are a few guys that will visit once and commit.
Sure.
The vast majority of them.
Well, let me ask you this. We got a great sponsor here in Athens Ford.
That
and I guarantee you, people go in there, it's hard for them to go anywhere else. But usually speaking, if you're getting ready to buy a truck, you're going to look at a couple places before you make that kind
that's
of
my
deal.
Point. Yes, sir.
So the same thing's true with but once you get in Athens Ford, it's over with.
You're going to commit on the spot.
The difference nowadays, these kids do have a lot of choices, and everything that they do is a lot more open because of really good reporting by guys like you. And because people are just fighting for the words, and these kids like to talk about what they're doing, and it's a one-time life experience, and they love it. So we just know a lot more about these guys, and it's an earlier process, and there's not any real set way about where a guy's going to – how he's going to commit or what he's going to do, you know, and you don't know what the school wants. And it's like, you know, I've told you before about Dean Smith when I was in North Carolina. I thought we had a really good kid we were trying to help him with in basketball because we had a good football player. And he just told me, he said, hey, this guy's good, but he's not good enough for us.
I was really hoping you were going to do the voice.
Well, you want me to do it, Dean? call him both ways. Call him both ways. Jim, he's just not good enough for us. And I just don't like it when these reporters used to play basketball and now he can't coach, but he tries to critique me. It's just not good. Billy Packer, what are you trying to do out there? And then Billy Packer came out and turned into a great reporter. But Dean used to hate him on the ACC network because he used to kill Wake Forest, you know. And then Billy started critiquing Dean, you know, why is he going to the Four Corners? And
all right.
But anyhow,
well, let me talk a little bit about you mentioned Athens.
I did a good segue to Athens Ford, didn't I?
He did a great segue for Athens Ford. Let's give a big shout out to the big sponsor of our show. And I wanted I was looking at their April specials. Remember, there's 2 weeks left in April, get a chance, go out to Athens Ford. I clicked on their website and immediately popped up and said, here's a $500 off coupon on any vehicle.
Nice.
Just give us, just fill this out and we'll send you. So you can walk in, $500 off any of them. But the Ford Expedition, fantastic vehicle, big vehicle. Say you're getting ready to go to the beach, you know, you're thinking about your summer trips, you're thinking about taking your kids, their friends, dog.
Maybe you're a trainer and you got to drive all your kids to these campuses.
Well, the campuses, not only that, or you're taking – it's baseball season.
Yeah.
You got to take these away games. I know that my son's in track. You know, you can't be a coach without an Expedition. I'm just saying. The Ford Expedition, the Limited and Platinum, both packages, $11,000 off.
Mm.
It's a fantastic vehicle. It's a little bit bigger than I only have the one kid. And he's not very popular. He only has, like, one friend. So I don't need anything bigger than a Ford.
Damn.
He's a little girlfriend now. So,
there you go.
Know.
All right. Shout out.
So I need the Expedition to keep them far apart.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
You're in the just row of seats. You're in the other row of seats. But if you get a chance, swing out by Athens Ford. Check them out. As Coach said, there's nobody better when you go out and sit in that. Again, they're not high pressure because they know what they got to sell. They're not going to push you. They're not like, they don't need you to commit on the spot because they're like, you can go elsewhere, but you're not going to get as good a deal here, and you're going to get high pressure somewhere else. We're here. Again, they're playing the long game because they don't want to sell you just one car. They want to sell you 10.
Yeah.
You know, it's like buy one now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, buy another one. You know, you're going to have such a good experience that you're going to keep coming back.
That's a long-term process, isn't it?
That's what they do. I mean, you can sell somebody once, you know, and have them resent it, or you can sell them 5 times. And their friends and their family by treating them right, and that's what they do at Athens Ford.
By the way, I want to give a quick shout-out also to Champies. We're here today. It's Tuesday. That's 75-cent wing night. We got the wings right here in front of us. They're excellent.
Really good.
$15 buckets of Bud Light or Mech Ultras tonight as well. So make a point to get out here for wing night. Hey, look.
So, I mean, some people have to work. They can't come out during lunch.
Kirby Smart, Kirby Smart feels it's good enough to serve to these recruits who are coming in.
He serves the recruits, to the staff, to the players.
I'm just saying.
He's a big Champions guy.
Well,
his wife has it at the tailgates, from what I understand from Josh Collins, who's around there delivering some stuff. But I was going to listen to you make that talk about being sincere and being. But has anybody? I'm sure plenty of people on the podcast and watching this, you've had something where you bought something where somebody talked you into it. And that's the worst feeling in America, to leave someplace. Really, you didn't want it, but they talked you into it. And when I was in college, right when I was getting out of school, getting ready to go to work, this guy from Encyclopedia Britannica came by and wanted to sell me some books, and I kept trying to get the guy at the door, and he wouldn't leave. He said, well, can you just give me a glass of water? And then I gave him, kept talking. Finally, I signed up for a deal where I paid $14 a month for like 3 years just to get him out of there. And after it was over, I was so mad thinking about how did I – so I know how I felt. So I used to tell players that about if somebody's got to talk you into coming to their place, how are you going to feel about it?
Exactly.
As compared to – the next day, you can't wait to get up and tell everybody how proud you are to be signing with us. You know, if somebody's got to talk you into it, it's not worth it.
All right, we got some great questions that I want to hop right into.
I've been waiting a long time to tell that Britannica story.
Ronnie Brown, who always has some good stuff for us, he says, Coach, which group or side of the ball do you think Kirby and Stafford are looking at hardest during this year's G-Day game? Do you think there's a particular position? And he says, also, other than no injuries, what are some of the things that Coach wants to see from younger guys during the spring game?
Well, that's kind of an all-encompassing deal, but I would think, number one, you want to see how these the second and third quarterbacks react, because we got a given there in Jake Fromm, and we've seen Bennett last year a little bit in the G-Day game, but I would think that would be a real critical issue. Also evaluate the 14 new guys, how they're going to be able to go. Of course, two of them aren't going to be able to be in there, because three of them counting Rylan Goede. So I think it's just going to be a situation to evaluate that. And then you're looking for a clean situation, how, you know, an operation. It's not going to be the same, because you're going to have two actually coordinators, you know, one Coley will be for one team, and then, you know, I don't know if it'll be maybe Dell and Hankton with the other team, and then Lanning, and then, but, you know, they spread it up into teams. It's a good way to practice communication. But I think overall, just the you know, competitive nature of it, and you know, how they react to different situations will be the number one thing for me. And then as far as some things that I wanted to bring out about the spring, people have asked me, how's Notori Johnson doing? You know, he's a guy that switched positions last year to help the team defensive-wise, and I've talked to coaches a little bit, and I've also watched him out there. He's a guy that's really a team guy. He's practicing hard. He's thick in the middle. He takes up some space, and he's working hard to learn the system, and I think down the road he's going to help us a little bit, particularly right now from a depth standpoint. So I would say I'm pretty much in his favor from a standpoint in a backup role, but he can help our team next year. Another guy that people ask about, how about Waltire? He's a guy that you brought out the fact that he would be a gray shirt and coming in. And the first guy to tell everybody was Jake Cruz that he was going to be here this spring. He needs to get a little more size as far as weight, but he's really doing a good job of playing technique, and Trey Scott's doing a good job working him, and the older guys have helped him out there. You know, they're showing him what to do. So I think those are two guys that people ask about.
And we get a lot of questions about the event.
Some people have asked about, you know, why isn't Otis Reese out there? What's going on with him? And unfortunately, he's got mono and is going to be out,
really?
You know, for a little while. And
tough.
I know that you've had that before. And so there's nothing you can do about that. But he's really had a good spring, and I hate to see that happen. But so there's a little couple updates that you get on our show that maybe some other people
don't. Yeah, I didn't know any of that, so that helps.
That was an update for us as well.
That's why we have him on the show, folks.
Another surprise to me, that's not a surprise, but you hear all about all these linemen, but I think Wyatt is starting to really make a move now, and he's not a starter, but he's really is a lot more settled in the offensive line, so that helps us a little bit the way he's done out there. So I hope.
Well, no, you need the body. I mean, you're just – You're light out there with David Marshall being out, Junior Rochester being out.
And
having Devontae come in with his great feet on a good kid.
And Demetrius Robertson has had the kind of spring that he needed to have.
Oh, nice.
You hear Kirby talking about him. The coaches continue to talk about his big play ability, but also his overall knowledge of the system. He's a kick return guy. He really has benefited from being here a year, and I think we've seen his potential. But there's a lot of difference between performance and potential, and I just feel like he's earned his spurs a little bit out there, and I think he'll help our situation. When you add Cager, and who is not a a freakish athlete, but as a big, tall
big guy.
And George Pickens to that group of Holloman, Robertson, Tyler Simmons, Landers had a good spring.
Yeah.
I think our and you add Werner in there, who's really a guy capable of splitting out a little bit too. I just think we have a lot of weapons there. Swift's had a good spring. I've been bothered a little bit by his ankle, but I'd be surprised how much we see him Saturday because, you know, to me, he's like –
Why would you put him out there?
Just like Robert Edwards. I mean, I told Robert, I said, hey, it's all right with me if you missed the bus to the spring game, you know, but I didn't tell him that.
Did you see?
Because
you
we were going to
that?
Clark Central for the game. And if you miss it, then you say you couldn't find Clark Central. But he came in here, but I didn't let him play.
This is a good question, especially with you naming so many of those guys who've had big springs. We've talked a lot about spring practice and the top performers. But Shane Brandon Romero here says, question of the day. He deems himself
the question of the day.
I love that. He says, who is your off-the-radar breakout performer for G-Day? Who's a guy that maybe people
for
aren't
G-Day?
Talking about? Yeah, I mean, who's somebody that you think could come out there and make an impact?
I think Stetson Bennett. I think he's been waiting his whole life to be out there in that stadium, and last year he didn't get to play much. You know, he wanted to play, and I think he's going to have a lot of shots at doing some things against the controlled environment a little bit, and I think – he's either going to be really good or he's going to, you know, make some mistakes. But I think there's a little bit of wow factor there with this guy because everybody talks about what he can't do instead of what he can. I think Stetson Bennett might be a guy you really could see happening there Saturday.
I want to mention something about Stetson Bennett. Go back to the competition between Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason. Mm-hmm. There's a young kid out there.
Who's that guy?
There's a young kid out there by the name of Stetson Bennett. Freshman, you know, rising seniors kid. I was speaking to a guy who goes to every practice. Every one of them. And he turned to me and said, Roddick, I know I'm not a coach. I don't get paid to do any of this. But I tell you right now, if I had to start one of these two quarterbacks, I'd start that short kid over there, Stetson Bennett. Because this guy was at the beginning of every practice. He was there through the whole time. And I trust this guy's instincts. That's how high he was on Stetson Bennett 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He's really not short. It's just compared to a taller quarterback. He's not he's not the prototype of what we've had. But, he's taller than Kyler Murray or Johnny Football. But, it's John Manziel now.
Well, my thing is, you know, I mentioned that on the dog event, and people just lost their minds. They're like, oh, come on. You got Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm. I'm like, I'm just repeating what a guy there said. Sure enough, all of a sudden, you know, he talked about how much the team loved him and how he was torching the number one defense when he's on the scout team, and he did that some. And remember that first year, though, about that year, that was not a great secondary.
Sure.
But point being, he was successful. He went to, was it Jacksonville State?
Jones Community College.
Had a great year, you know. So this kid can play. But I think to answer the question, breakout player, because it's kind of tough. I mean, off the radar, that's how do you determine who's – because I want to say Adam Anderson's going to have a big game, but, I mean, we expected him.
He's
a former
five-star
guy. But I'm going to go with Matt Landers. I've been hearing a lot about him.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard good things and bad things, but – I'm thinking, you know, each year we see one guy who's
give you one from each side. You got Matt Landers, and then I'm going to go Stetson Bennett, and I'm going to go with Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith. Defense, give me Tariq Stevenson.
Okay. I like that pick. That's a good one.
You know, again – and it might be a situation where he's in the wrong spot, but he still makes a big play.
Yeah, no doubt. He's fast enough to correct.
That's what I'm saying. He's just you know, there was –
Who you got?
I'm going to go – oh, Lord. Let's see.
Come on. You ain't got time to mess
around.
Okay.
An off-the-radar guy, but I do think that based on what he's done this spring, based on what people have said about him this spring, I get the feeling that they'll give – D-Rob a chance to get out and make some plays. They'll give him a chance to be featured.
Number one athlete in the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah, way to go on a limb. No, but that is good because
right, go
he
ahead.
Has not done it in the past. So.
Yeah, and then defensively, you know, I honestly, the guy I'm most interested in watching, I don't know that it's a guy who I expect to like have a breakout performance, but a guy that I'm probably going to have the closest eyes on is another guy in the secondary, and that's DJ Daniel. I want to see if he's going to be able to come in the secondary as a JUCO guy, 2 years under his belt, and and contribute and you know, in a game like atmosphere. I'm interested
well,
to see that.
To that point, will. I mean, I would my thought the first guy I wanted to say was Devon Wilson.
Yeah,
I think Devon's going to do something. But again, I don't consider him off the radar considering the way he came back at you know that last game. To me, he's out there. He's pretty much penciled in as your starter. You know, to me, it's star between him, Mark Webb. You know,
Tyreek McGee, maybe.
Tyreek McGee.
But you got Stevenson, Daniel, sign. I mean, three really good players that weren't here in the fall that are here now.
And that's what I think partly is. Got to be one of the most exciting aspects of G-Day this year is you've got such an you got such an influx of these freshmen that you're going to be able to see this right off the bat in G-Day.
Our O-line and secondary compared to the first spring he was here, really, you know, night and day. And I think some of these old linemen are doing a good job too. I think you know, for sure Webb has really come in and done what we thought he would. And some of these other guys are starting to get better, you know. We'll see how they do.
Jeff Dyer's going with James Cook. He says, I want to see what James Cook can do.
Well, I mean,
James
Cook's looking good, too. It just depends on how the chips or how the cookie crumbles. Who are you going against out there? Who's on defense? You know, if all of a sudden they pull the second team out and they got the third team secondary and now you got a first team guy against him. But so it's a lot of it's, you know, wheel of fortune where it lands on what play call and everything. But we got explosive playmakers on both sides of the ball. And I think leaving the stadium Saturday after the game, the one thing that'll be overwhelming for anybody that comes would be the way our team looks physically and the way we can run. When you leave that stadium, there isn't any doubt that Kirby Smart has his footprint on the talent level.
Yeah, no doubt. When Kirby Smart actually mentions the speed of the secondary, you can tell that he doesn't want to give him too many compliments, but to your point, and you called this months ago, you said we're going to be so much faster in the secondary, and sure enough, that's what Kirby Smart's talking about.
And the build-up at linebacker, too. Yep. I mean, nobody's talking – we didn't mention Dean, but everybody talks about it. He makes play after play. And Tindall and Walker just really doing well to go with Monty and Crowder. So we're pretty good on defense.
Yeah, you're going to be okay. I want to give a quick shout-out to Aaron Overhead Doors, big sponsors of our show, big fans of the website. I don't know why. But Riley has been very kind to us, very, very good to sponsor our show. And I'm always excited about talking about them because of just the crazy ratings they get. You know, and they're not one of those companies that's going to hit you up five times after they do one little thing for you. Go, please rank us here, please rank us here, please rank us here. These are actual genuine reviews where people have a good experience with Aaron Overhead Doors, and they go to Yelp, they go to Google, they go to the Better Business Bureau, and they rank them five-star, five-star, five-star. I clicked on their page just now because I wanted to talk about this. I saw it the other day. The minute I clicked on it, the little window pops up, says, you know, what are you interested in? How can we help you? And it's, you know, do you need an installation? Do you need a repair? Do you need service? Do you need your your door opener fixed? You know? And you think about it sometimes, like, what do I want to call somebody because my garage door opener is not working? Again, this is a customer service company. They'll probably come out and do that for you, you know, in a heartbeat. You know, they're not going to be like, well, if you're not doing a, you know, $2,000 garage door, you know, installation replacement, you know, they'll still come out and do it. So, again, that's why they get those five-star ratings. And I've read a few of the Yelp reviews are like, hey, they came out and they fixed something. They didn't even charge me for it because it was a small thing. They've had some others where they're talking about, you know, the service technician that came out was so courteous and explained everything that was going on. So if you get a chance, just read the Google reviews. Those are the same reviews you would want if you were a banker, a lawyer, you know, a street sweeper. The type of reviews they get and the people who rave about them. This isn't the, hey, you bought something on eBay. Can you please give me feedback, you know, so I can run up my fake review chart. No, this is actual legitimate, sincere reviews. Coach was talking about sincere being earlier, about guys being sincere. This was the people who were responding to Aaron Overhead Doors. These are sincere customers who appreciate the customer service they got. So if all those people can give them such a high ranking, give him a shot. Give him a chance.
Ronnie Brown says he's looking forward to seeing if LeCount is going to have some have the game slow down for him a little bit on Saturday. Gerald Shepard says he's looking for Charlie Warner to have a big game.
Well, here's the thing about LeCount, though. He had so many opportunities last year to make tackles because we missed so many inside plays with our linebackers that, you know, you're going to fail sometime. You can't just tackle every, I mean, there's a reason those guys are on scholarship running the ball and catching it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get them down. So I think he's going to benefit by better inside presence and by a better pass rush. We probably won't be able to see the pass rush Saturday that we will against Vanderbilt because I think they'll control the pressure packages. And, you know, not want to put too much pressure on these young quarterbacks. So you'll see probably some four-man rush, and then everybody goes, hey, what's wrong with the pass rush? You know, hey, they're not going to call me.
That's what we're going to lead the story with.
Okay, but
Georgia post-game analysis, Georgia has no pass rush.
If we have a lot of balls, a lot of, you know, they don't let them hit the quarterback. If we have a lot of sacks Saturday, I will be concerned.
Jeff Purcell says, after watching his interview, I'd love to see Nate McBride have a great game. I think a lot of people would. He won over a lot of people with
– Well, Nate's got a good team attitude, and, you know, I was glad he was interviewed, and he's done a good job on the special teams. And I think our special teams next year are going to be in a different planet. Two great kickers. We got a plethora of guys that can return kicks, and we got some guys who want to make the bus, make the trip. 70, you know, 70 on the trip, and that's the way you can make it, be a special team star. And we got a lot of guys that get good experience playing there, and that really helps them.
Good question here from Chris Metcalf. Not one we get a lot, so I do want to get to it. He says, Coach, how is the nutrition program now compared to when you were coaching the Dogs?
I thought he was going to ask about me eating those French fries in the break, but I had to get a couple there.
That's why we have commercials, so these guys can eat the fries.
But I take off my mic so you won't hear me crunching them. But, yeah. You know, we always had a good situation here. Mark did a good job with that. And then Rachel was one that worked with him. Rachel has a place out in Watkinsville now, and I'm sure plenty of you have gone to eat, but we never worried about the food. It was always great. And, you know, nutrition as far as what the guys ate is different now. I mean, you know, we had a fat man's deal where a guy couldn't get extra helpings and stuff like that. But it's just unbelievable now, all the different ways these kids are build up their fuel. There's so many different places around the school. You know, over at the basketball arena, they can pick up things. Any sport can go by there and pick up a grab and go. There's just no reason not to be able to have a good nutrition program with the money we got. And we do a great job with it. And I think it's really the kids look like it. And we don't have a bunch of big old out-of-weight guys and overweight guys. But as far as when I was here, I mean, we ate good, coaches and managers and trainers and players.
I think that is the one thing that could put Georgia back over the top. Reopen Charlie Williams.
Yeah.
Reopen Charlie Williams Pikerest Lodge. With everything you got going on right now, that would do it.
I think that it's progressed just so heavily across the course of college football in the last 10 to 15 years that it's almost night and day from, you know, with the focus that we're seeing and the number of people on the staffs. And
well, you get that. Plus, here's the thing. You know, I think that the way the players are bigger and faster than they were then, I don't want to say there's less injuries, but I think that had you not been – the nutrition program has been working to make these guys healthier overall. You would have had more injuries, mainly for these guys being, you know, bigger and stronger, faster.
Sure.
So I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm thinking if you saw some of those, as Coach would call them, chillardos back in the day out trying to do what they do nowadays, I think you'd have more injuries, but these guys are in better shape. Part of it, they're able to work out more because the nutrition programs, the nutrition program keeps them healthy. They're able to do more. I think it's goes hand in hand.
Another thing is we use sleep monitors. You know, they have these things on their arms that they program their sleep so they know how they're getting enough rest and everything like that. Sometimes guys don't put them on, but it's a good way to figure out, is a guy getting enough? You know, when you look at all the demands of a player, when you look at the weight training, the meeting time, the practice, and then the tutoring and going to class. How much rest are they getting? That to me is more important, the sleep part, than the eating, because they got to get the maximum rest. And Kirby does a good job of monitoring that through with Ron Corson. And then the other thing that's different now, because used to be spring practice was just bludgeon, you know, because you weren't worried about a game, so you maybe not, you know, you're always worried about injuries, but you had a lot more contact in the spring. And now, because of the concussion situation, they've outlawed so many contact periods in practice, so you don't see near as much contact in practice in the spring. And I think it's good, because you see more and more kids make it through the spring without an injury, and they're able to go full speed, and our coaches do a good job evaluating them without actually having the contact of them hitting the ground.
Got a lot of recruiting questions I do want to get to. We'll hit those in a rapid fire, but I do want to put this one at you too, Coach, from our guy Ronnie. He always had some good ones. He says, Coach, how does a co-coordinator situation work out in game? Does one help more in pregame prep and the other call plays, or do they share the in-game responsibilities? How do you sort of balance the dynamic of the co-coordinator?
Well, a lot of it's based on practice organization. Like, you have certain areas in practice that you're going to do. Let's just put it from Glenn Schumann's perspective, being a co-coordinator with Dan Lanning. You know, he might be responsible for setting up the practice script. A script is where you list the play that you're going to go against based on the tendencies of the other team and the defense that you want to run against it, so the scout team can get ready to run it, and you won't spend a lot of time in practice getting your own team. So you'll script out like 15 plays in this period. He might be responsible for that script as the co-coordinator, as compared to maybe not that anybody's a lesser coach, but say a position coach might be more drill specific as far as setting up his practice. Then Lanning might do the team script, where he would do where they're moving the ball. And then Coach Warren might do the pass skeleton deal, where he's setting up the passes he wants to look at. And conversely, on offense, Coach Pittman might be working on the goal line offense script. Coach Hankton might be doing the pass skeleton. And Coach McGee might be working with getting everything ready for their third down plays. And then Coley looks at all of it and then puts it together, but saves him a little time instead of trying to put all of that together, because they're running over 200 plays in the practice. And we run so many plays, it's just hard to keep up with it as far as the outside or what's next. But it's all organized and scripted, so you're not just counting on memory. And you practice calling the plays accordingly, where these coaches assist you in setting it up. Does that answer it?
Yeah.
Fantastically. I had no idea any of that.
So. And here's the thing that I like about Kirby, and I try to do it as a head coach, but some coaches are involved in other things, but before practice starts, he will meet with the defense for 30 minutes, and he will go over that script that they've set up, and he'll look at it, because he's the head coach. He's got to be ready for scout teams and all that and everything. And he'll say, well, why were you doing this? Why were you doing that? So before practice, they can explain why they're doing it. If he doesn't like it, they'll knock it out. You know, sometimes you take those plays, or he might, hey, we need a couple more plays in team pass. I'd like to see cover two banjo in this, you know. And he does the same thing with the offense. So preventative maintenance, so to speak. So when you go out to practice, you've had the position coach get the drills ready, you've had the co-coordinator set up the certain segments, and you've had the coordinator put it all together, and then the head coach looks at it for his approval.
There you go.
If you're not going to get that anywhere else, folks. You really won't.
We don't know that.
I had no idea any of that happened. So,
good question. Thanks, Ron.
I tell you, the other thing that I like about our practices with this indoor facility is up on the big screen up there, it'll have what's coming up next, where you're supposed to go, who's going to be where, what field you're going to. So you might be in a rep, but you can look up there and see just in case. So there's no lollygagging around. Yeah. Coaches are going to be on you. Hey, we're going to field too. But all of a sudden, if you're in the indoor facility and then you got to be at right up there near Lumpkin on that third field up there, you better get on your horse. And some people that don't like that are O-line when they got to jog from the third field all the way over there.
Let's have it. Let's do everything on field one.
Yeah. So the indoor is good, but all of a sudden it's not good when you got to go. And the thing about it, you want to save time. So if you're taking 2 or 3 minutes extra all that to get to these different venues, but
it didn't look
I mean, I've seen a lot of practice organization in my time, pro, college, everything else, and camps and stuff like that. Our practices are max organized.
Not surprised for a guy that pays that much attention to detail. All right, hit us up with a question.
All right, Chris Metcalf says, is the Big OT committed to Ohio State a real possibility? That'd be number one offensive tackle in the nation, Paris Johnson. I'm going to tell you that I am not writing off the possibility that he could be in town this weekend. I do think that there's a little bit of smoke going on there, and we're definitely looking into that as well. I just have a hard time with, you know, a kid from Ohio. It's tough. He's been committed early. Mom's up there. You know, she. We've spoken to her. She said, hey, you know, we're just taking visits, making sure everything's good. So I'm not writing him off visiting. I just don't know how real of a possibility he is to candidate.
He is what we were talking about earlier. Some of the kids at Georgia's in on heavy.
Yeah.
They take visits elsewhere. In this situation, if he visits, he might be one of those visits elsewhere.
Yep.
You know, Georgia, and you are that school sometimes.
Sure. Who did you tell us about last week? There might be a possibility coming on board there, the kid from Texas and Ratledge.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting that you mentioned Akinola Ogunbi, I think is how we're saying his name, the four-star out of Sugar Land, Texas, a kid who I'm really looking forward to, you know, how this ends up playing out with him, because a lot of people thought he would go to the Oklahoma spring game this past weekend and go ahead and pull the trigger there. He didn't.
Did he go or didn't pull?
He did. He went, but he didn't pull. So that is a guy to continue watching now. You know, I said especially if he comes out of that visit uncommitted, that's definitely one
way
to
go.
Circling.
I mean, that's why you listen to our show.
But he did say Georgia's a long way from home.
He did. He did. And I think that there are some reasons to feel good there.
Being realistic.
Jeff Purcell says, does Georgia get any commitments on Saturday? I'm not writing off that possibility, but I will tell you that right now, as of Tuesday, there's not a guy that I have particularly circled. It's not like some of the situations.
The kid that's supposed to commit on the
Jermaine Burton.
Jermaine Burton.
Yeah, Jermaine Burton, pretty up in the air on whether or not he's going to come. Nobody seems to know exactly what he's going to do this weekend. I do know that LSU is feeling very confident in their chances with him coming off of his visit there. So be interesting to watch that one. Jeff Purcell says, do you think we get a 2021 commit? Don't write that possibility off. Again, this is all long game stuff. I mean, 2021 is – that's a long time.
Well, no, but we see that some young kids come in.
Sure.
And they're like, hey, this is where I want to go, and you get them. But I remember it was a couple G-days ago that the news going into the game was Adam Anderson had flipped LSU.
That's right. That's right.
Know? So it's like not only did you not – well, I think you might have gotten one later that afternoon, but
– it wasn't Adam Anderson.
Yeah, you lost a five-star guy at LSU, but guess where he's playing now?
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing, too. I think that I used to always talk to our coaches about it, and sometimes you got to be – when you go to the game Saturday, just be glad who we got.
Yep.
I'm talking about fans, everything. Just think about – just get the program, and before the game starts, look at all 14 of those guys that weren't here in January. Look at all 14 of them. N'Kobe Dean, Webb, Tyreek, Johnson, Smith, all of them. Just look at them and say, golly, can you imagine where they – who we got, where they could be? Look who else wanted them.
Yeah.
Stevenson, Sign, all these guys. They're on our team, and they've never played in a game, and they got 3, maybe 4 years here. I mean, we got 8 more coming in.
Yeah.
Plus Cager. So, seriously, you know, we're talking about – and these are great questions, and we're talking about who we're going to get to commit, you know, all this. Man, let's just – hey, this is G-Day, but it's also Thanksgiving. Get the turkey out, man. We got some players.
I will say two guys I would watch out for just as possibilities in 2021, because I do think that they're both leaning pretty heavily for Georgia. Amarius Mims out of Bleckley County.
Yeah.
And then Micah Morris out of Camden. I think that those are two guys right. to
so
watch.
Tell me.
What, I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah,
tell me about what the fans can expect from our site here from Friday perspective at that rival site here. What are we going to get to as far as feedback? I mean, are you going to have a constant thread, or are you going to tell us the next day, or what are you going
to
do?
What Jake will do, I'll speak for him because he got stuff to because I'll just be down there glad handing, you know, folks from rivals trying to, you know, get more t-shirts and stuff like that. You know, the kids will come in, we will speak to them before the camp. So you're going to have the state's best, the region's best players in this area coming out to the Rivals camp. Very similar, like they came out to the opening for Nike. We get a lot of the same kids. We get a lot of kids that didn't do Nike. They'll come to Rivals. So they'll come out. We'll do a lot of interviews with them as they are warming up, because they're going to compete. We don't want anybody out there getting hurt. So they go through a pretty good warm-up. They go through some individual drills. While they're doing that, Jake and our guys will knock out a quick hitter. Here's the kid we spoke to. Here's the most important thing he had to say about Georgia. Here's the second kid we talked to.
What time can we expect that?
Ooh, let's see. Registration, I think, starts at 5. Normally, we spend about an hour and a half interviewing guys. So I'd say around maybe about 7:30 to 8 probably is when you'll be looking for that.
So Friday, can't wait!
So Friday night, you'll have probably 19 to 30 updates on players in this region, 2020, 2021. Maybe some 2022 kids. Because, again, this is invitation only. This isn't open to everybody. We've already had that camp in Atlanta.
Like
a lot of guys.
You got to be invited.
So you got to be invited. It's free. So we're not trying to make money off these schools like a lot of these kids. There's a lot of promoters out there that have camps, and their whole point is to make money off the kids.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, we're going to send your video to colleges. Colleges never see it. This is a situation where, and trust me, all eyes will be on who the top performers are, how these kids did. And then we will break those tidbits out into bigger stories, you know, because, yeah, we'll tell you the most important thing he said, but there's a lot that these kids say. They'll talk to us for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So we'll have full stories coming Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday for, you know, a good week.
Is Beck coming to this?
Beck will not be at this one, I don't believe. A couple of names. I'm just looking at our list here. I won't give everybody away, but Arik Gilbert is a guy that everybody will be looking forward to seeing what he has to offer. Tank Bigsby out of Callaway is another guy that I can't wait to see. BJ Ojolari is a guy we talk about
Murphy.
A lot. Murphy will be there, Miles Murphy, so that's going to be a big one. And a couple of Georgia commits as well in Jamil Burrows and Nazir Stackhouse. So going to be
just
a
because we got
loaded up
hey,
day.
That's so, another thing that you wrote. That's another thing you
now,
wrote.
I'm not going to I'm trying not to give the whole.
Just saying.
We're not getting enough credit for Stackhouse and Burrows, I don't think. I think sometimes the tendency is, hey, those are two good players now. Cut the huddle on. Cut whatever you got and watch those two and think about it. Plus the ones we got last year. I mean, we got some D linemen coming in here.
Well, what'll be fun is after in a couple days after that camp, if you go to UGASports.com, you'll be able to watch the one-on-ones. And these guys, you know, I know you don't like them, but it's
I like one-on-one pass the passing, but I don't like the pass protection.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not run blocking, but it's good to see these guys move, and you can see, you know,
is Ratledge coming?
Ratledge is unconfirmed as of yet, but it would not surprise me to see him show up.
So if you had a Tate versus, you know, Stackhouse, you know, it's fun to watch stuff
absolutely.
Like that. So again, it's not life or death, but it's fun to watch. So anyway, point being, there will be a ton of content coming from that, plus a lot of stories, and then of course we'll have our fan, you know, our full G Day coverage the following day. So
are you guys on after the game?
Yeah, we'll do. We'll go live. Yeah.
Yeah. We got nothing better to do.
Yeah. What a calm evening we've got ahead of us.
I like it when you guys do after the game. I like it a lot more when we win.
I might I might be headed to your pie or academia after the game, though.
Speaking of academia, when you get a chance to go out there, I saw they had this yesterday. So Monday has us in good spirits with these sweet cherry cocktails like our cherry limeade with Tito's or our Coke and cherry rum with plantation rum.
Good stuff.
You like a place that's like, huh, you know, today's cherry, you know, the cherry blossoms are blooming. Let's go make some cherry cocktails with cherry limeade or cherry rum and Coke. Those are just impressive. And, of course, they always have new beers out there. I like this that they had for the Azalea Burger they created last week for the Masters. Juicy beef patty resting on a bed of bacon topped with house-made pimento cheese and a fried egg and crispy onion rings.
And the new double IPA, Name of Words, awesome. Which I like as a great reactionary to how insane these beer names have gotten out there.
Yeah, hey, you know, talking about a limeade, when I was 12 years old, I was at the Duke Army game at Duke, and I went up there to get me a Coca-Cola or something, and there's a cadet from Army ahead of me in line. And I never forget this, so it's 62 years ago. This guy says, I'll take a lemonade and a cue barb. You want a limeade and a barbecue sandwich.
Lemonade. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And he was going to the – he was a cadet. I mean, he's probably smarter than me, but I started saying, hey, man, that's limeade and barbecue. Well, nice. People don't want to hear that. They don't hear me saying, but it is pretty good.
We love the stories. I do. You got any more questions?
I think we're questioned up.
Okay, because about to say we kind of need to wrap this up. We got a little long this week. I also want to give a big shout out to YourPie. If you get a chance, this when you come into town for G Day, there's multiple. I think three locations in Athens, so you can stop of course by Champions or Academia. But if you're on your way out of town or if you're looking for a great tailgate, swing by YourPie. If you got a bunch of different people and you're like, well, I don't know if someone's going to want this, and then that person always wants bacon, this person's a vegan, you know, that person has a gluten allergy, you can go buy any of the YourPies and they will make a custom pizza for you or a sandwich. They do have sandwiches, and they even have dessert. So if we get a chance, use the app. You can order ahead and have them all lined up. It doesn't take very long. I mean, by the time you tell them what dough you want, what sauce you want, all the toppings on it, they turn around, they throw it in the oven, you walk down, you pay for it, you go get your drink, you sit down. 2 minutes later, they're walking up to your table giving you a fresh pizza. So it doesn't matter how many folks you have, if you get a chance, swing by YourPie. It will be life-changing when it comes to pizza for you. I guarantee it. And if you want to open one, yeah. Hey, talk to Drew French. He'll set you up. Anyway, next Tuesday we will have a G-Day wrap-up, a Rivals Camp wrap-up. We're going to have a lot to talk about, so be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon. Take care.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.